Philip II of Macedonia, Athens, 346 to 341 BCE, Part 2. Now, open debate in the assembly in Athens ensured that Philip was aware of what was being said about him in Athens, of voices accusing him of bribery and declaring another war was inevitable. Similarly, attempts by formal and informal representatives of Athens to recruit allies against Macedonia were also not very secret. In 343 BCE, the famous orator Python of Byzantium came to Athens on Philip's behalf to make a formal complaint about his critics in the assembly. This able speaker claimed that the king had honored every part of the peace of Philocrates. He assured the Athenians of Philip's earnest desire for their friendship, and beyond that of any other state, he was ready to listen to their suggestions if they wished to modify the alliance. Most Athenians applauded, and an embassy was sent to Philip to negotiate. Of course, nothing was achieved, not least because Hegepsis was one of the envoys and made excessive demands, reviving claims for, guess what, Amphipolis and other possessions long since lost by Athens. Talk of a new common peace between all Greek states, like the treaty after Lectra, 362 BCE, went further, not least because Philip gave it his support. But it was not clear that the wider world was actually interested. All of the Gallipolian peninsula was Athenian, apart from the city of Cardia, which had never fallen to them. Now it was an ally of Philip's, but this did not prevent Athens from desiring it. In 342 BCE, Philip wrote a letter offering to submit to outside arbitration over the question of Amphipolis, Cardia, and the tiny island of Halonesus, once part of the Athenian Empire, then a pirate stronghold, and most recently captured by the Macedonians. This was a common enough technique of resolving disputes without warfare, and also helped to honor and strengthen friendships with the communities asked to arbitrate. Philip had already offered to give the island to the Athenians, who were persuaded to refuse because he had not said he was restoring what was already theirs. Those wishing to avoid war with Macedonia pragmatically accepted that keeping the peace would cost a measure of pride. Demosthenes, Hegepsis, and their associates saw the slightest compromise as undermining Athens' whole position, effectively arguing that to give anything up was to give up everything. The Athenian general, Depesthenes, appears to have held a similar view and also needed to fund his army. Backed by Athens' settlers, he threatened Cardia, prompting Philip to send troops to garrison as well as a suggestion that they seek arbitration. Later in 342 BCE, or early in 341 BCE, Theopethus captured an envoy sent by Philip and sent the prisoner to Athens, where the dispatches he was carrying were made public. In 341 BCE, Theopethus raided Thracian communities taking plunder and slaves, with no doubt helped support his army. Philip sent another representative to complain, and he was not only taken prisoner, but tortured before he was ransomed. Theopethus then also preyed on merchant vessels, including those of Macedonia and its allies. Demosthenes defended the general, assuring his fellow citizens that the inevitable war against Philip had already begun, even if it had not been declared formally. Athens' ally in Euboea gained the upper hand, possibly because they were no longer any Macedonian paid mercenaries there, and they began raiding across the Gulf of Paphos. Since these were Macedonian allies, this was a direct violation of the Peace of Philocrates. Demosthenes always claimed that many Greeks feared and resented Philip, and that Athens would find ready allies if they were bold enough to take the lead in fighting him. For generations now, it was no longer strange for an orator to revel in the past glories of Athens at Marathon and Thermopylae, suggesting that the Athenians seek assistance from Persia. Demosthenes supported this, and in 341 BCE, an Athenian embassy went to the King of Kings. There were signs that the Persians were becoming nervous about Philip's Thracian conquests, and although they were unwilling to make an alliance, they sent encouragement and money. Others were also nervous as Philip advanced to the European side of the Hellespont. Well-established Greek colonies like Byzantium and Perinthus had been his allies for some time, glad of the protection this offered against ambitious Thracian kings. But they found the alliance less appealing now that he was so successful and on their doorstep. Demosthenes went to Byzantium in 341 BCE and reported that they had come to fear Philip. Former allies of Athens, such as Rhodes and Cos, had not so long ago led the revolt of the Athenian allies. Similarly, they were now worried about the Macedonians more than their old mistress. The general Diophanes of Athens died around this time and was replaced by the commander in the Dardanelle region, Chares, who at least knew the region well enough, although his record against Philip was at best patchy. So as you can see, the Athenians are really trying to get things started, and Philip's trying not to go to war, but they certainly are intent upon getting it started. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.